Delario, so solid. Of Skins fame, I don't know if you watched that in your angsty teenage years.
I did not. I cannot say I did, no.
Well, I would recommend it, although only if you're perhaps under the age of 18.
Yeah, I think I have a friend who watched that. It's on Netflix, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
Not a bad show. Not a bad show.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I just haven't watched it.
Yeah, you know. It was very good to me in my angsty teenage years.
Should we have like a Rob's movie corner? Or are you a...
Oh God, no. My movie takes are horrible. Nearly as bad as my football takes.
Well, we'll scratch that. Yeah. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to talking some Kieran Trippier with you, Rob.
Oh, God. Oh, God,
really,
help us.
Really looking forward to this pod, mostly for that reason, but also for other reasons.
Yeah, I feel a bit sick.
Yeah, one of your favorites.
Yeah, certainly.
Playing for the other North London team.
Yes, that other one.
So let's start there. Kieran Trippier of Champions League runners-up Tottenham Hotspur, he now plays for Atletico Madrid. He was introduced on Thursday after his signing was confirmed Wednesday. Fee of around 22 million euros. Rob, instant reaction. Go.
Okay, so my instant reaction was that I hated it and I thought he was trash. However, I am a fair man. So I went and I had a look at the stats. And the stats are kinder to him than I think my maybe eye test and Tottenham bias was. Because they're pretty good, especially if you compare it to Santiago's stats.
Mm.
It's not bad. I mean, certainly we know Kieran Trippier is certainly more of an offensive right back than a defensive player, but
that
may not necessarily be a bad thing.
Yes, that kind of, I was thinking about this yesterday, that kind of speaks to perhaps a larger, a newer fullback strategy. Simeone gave an interview earlier in the summer talking about how fullback is now the most important position in the sport. You have to have young, offensive-minded fullbacks who can, you know, go on long bursting runs up and down the flanks for 90 minutes. And Kieran Trippier might be in that mold. Listen, he's not a great defensive right back. I think we can agree on that.
Yes.
But there is a talented player in there. He just came off not a great personal season for him, but he started a Champions League final. He won the trust of one of the best coaches in the world, in Mauricio Pochettino. The things that he can do are things that Atleti need out of a fullback. He's younger than Juan Fran, 6 years younger than Juan Fran. He's good on the ball, excellent set-piece taker. Those are all things that Atleti need. An excellent crosser of the ball, too. That's probably the most important thing that Atleti need from their fullbacks, and Trippier is awfully good at that.
He is. That is absolutely true. His delivery is excellent. We've known this. He had an excellent World Cup and then kind of followed it up with kind of a pretty terrible season with Tottenham by his standards. But even still, if you look at his more advanced numbers, which, you know, can be kind of, you know, controversial, but, you know, his expected assist numbers were pretty much the same this past season and the season before that. So even though from sort of public perception he didn't do as well, his underlying numbers were pretty much the same.
And there was reporting that he played through a groin injury for lots of last season, in addition to coming off a really deep run in the World Cup, which, you know, could have ended with England in the final. They ended up finishing fourth. So it was a long year for him. That probably
didn't really have another off.
Yeah. It is.
So he was kind of forced into it.
Yeah, he was. To be fair to him, I'm a little skeptical of this. I was skeptical when the rumor came out on Tuesday. This thing happened really, really quickly. I'm skeptical in part because Trippier was not the first or second or maybe not even third option. Atleti were linked with Nelson Semedo for a long time. That did not come to pass because Barcelona refused to negotiate for him. Elsaed Husay decided to stay at Napoli. Thomas Meunier was too expensive, which is weird because PSG need to sell. But still. So,
he also stinks, so.
So worse than Trippier.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I really want to hate this signing, but the more I look into it, I kind of don't mind it as much. And it seems like the fee is less than it was initially reported. It was initially reported as being sort of 3 million plus euros, but it kind of seems like it's around 20.
Yeah.
Which I hate that a lot less. So yeah, that's okay.
It's around 22 million, and it's a decent fee for a fullback, and it's double what Arias was purchased for, interestingly. And Arias is only a year younger.
Yeah, it's interesting what's going to happen with Arias, because kind of immediately after this, there are rumors coming out about Arias going to Everton.
Yeah, yeah.
So it sort of seems like the rumors about Simeone not exactly loving Arias might be true.
We'll see how much he loves Trippier.
He loves
him anymore.
Yeah, I mean, for anyone that doesn't follow Mono Burgos on Instagram, his post about Kieran Trippier was quite hilarious.
I did not see that, but he seems to be the only member of the staff who speaks English.
Yes, the post is not in English, but he did reference the fact that Kieran Trippier is the first English Atleti player since 1923,
yes.
Which is, for reference, before La Liga even existed.
It was before the Spanish Civil War and all that good stuff.
Yes, and the last English player's name was Drinkwater, which makes me think that he might be Danny's grandfather.
And he didn't have a first name, apparently. It was
there's like nothing known about this dude.
He scored 10 goals in 3 games, and all we know is his last name.
Yeah, he has to be Danny Drinkwater's granddad. Absolutely.
Nailed on.
No doubt about it.
Trippier is also the 20th Englishman to play in La Liga. And yeah, as Rob said, the first in 95 years to pull the red and white jersey on. It's an interesting signing. You don't see English players, British players move abroad very often. And it's going to be a healthy competition with him and Arias, assuming Arias stays, which I think he will. And possibly Shime Vrsaljko gets in on this if and when he's healthy, or maybe he gets loaned out again. Vrsaljko's situation is still very unclear because of his injury.
Yeah, and the other thing that has kind of occurred to me is that if Arias is playing well or something, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to Arias being on the right wing necessarily because of how good his delivery is and how poor he is defensively. I mean, I think it's kind of an emergency option, but I think it's maybe on the table.
Maybe, depending how flexible Cholo wants to be with his tactics, which, you know, probably not very.
But also, there's not a ton of right wingers at the club at the moment.
True.
I mean, Vitolo,
Vitolo is probably the only true right winger, unless you count Correa, and as we'll get to, Correa might be on the move fairly soon.
Exactly.
So Vitolo really might be, and Vitolo's left-footed. He primarily plays on the left.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think it might be in play, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, Cholo did try this with Juanfran a couple years ago, played him as a right winger for a few months. He did try that with Juanfran with mixed results, and he hasn't really gone back to it since. So
it would certainly be a more conservative approach, but I mean, given Simeone's history, I think it could potentially happen.
Yeah, that is an interesting note. Also, I'm not saying Kieran Trippier is mistake prone, but he did thank the San Antonio Spurs on Instagram rather than Tottenham Hotspur.
I appreciate that, actually. That kind of endears me to him more.
Yes, his first mistake since signing for Atletico is thanking the wrong team on Instagram.
He didn't care about them people anyway.
At his press conference, he said he can say hello, how are you in Spanish, but that's about it. So he will have to learn the language. There's a bit of a cultural adjustment, but this is an interesting one because, you know, he is English and we don't see a lot of players from Britain come over, so it'll be interesting. That competition with Arias will be interesting. Left back also appears to be finalized with Renan Lodi in, and Mauro Hermoso finally confirmed Thursday morning. He also had a press conference on Thursday, and this is maybe the most exciting signing of the summer for me, other than Jean Felix. This is probably the most exciting one for me. Hermoso is a stud, and Atleti got him on a bargain.
A bargain, absolutely. He's young, and it seemed like the deal was dead, which kind of makes it even more exciting. I'm right there with you. I think it's a great signing, and one Atleti desperately needed.
Yeah, here's the lowdown on Hermoso. He spent the last 2 years at Espanyol. He is a Real Madrid Academy graduate. I believe he played for the first team as well. He had a loan spell at Valladolid a while back, and he had been at Espanyol. Left-footed, can play center back or left back. He just turned 24. He had a 40 million euro release clause that Espanyol refused to budge on until literally last week, and then Atleti got the deal done. He is basically Lucas's direct replacement as a center back who can also play left back. And Atleti got him for around 25 million, an extra 4 million in variables. So 29 million total. Half of that goes to Real Madrid because of the insertion of a buyback clause that they chose not to, or a sell-on clause that Real Madrid chose not to take up. So half the fee goes to Espanyol, half of it goes to Real Madrid. Although Espanyol were smart enough to insert a sell-on clause of their own if Hermoso ends up leaving Atletico, whenever that may be.
Yeah, and he's been extremely solid for Espanyol, who have been, in the last couple of years, certainly a very solid defensive unit. So I think it's a very solid signing, and one that I sort of feel very comfortable with because it's a La Liga experienced player that's still young and is good in multiple positions. So I love this signing.
So he'll basically be the backup left back, but primarily you expect him to start alongside Jose Jimenez. And that's a very, very exciting pairing. And off the top of my head, that may be already one of the best pairings in La Liga.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'll be, I guess, in theory, a competition with Felipe as well. New Felipe, not old one.
Right.
But I would assume that Hermoso would win that battle fairly comfortably.
And if he doesn't, he'll just play left back.
Right.
Yeah, this is a really, really good signing. Jose tweeted a stat out this morning. He was the only player in La Liga last season with at least 25 shots, 1,500 passes, and 150 clearances or more. In all of La Liga, the only player to accrue those kinds of numbers.
Yeah, and I think certainly he's a central player naturally. But as we know, Diego Simeone doesn't mind a more defensive-minded left back.
Yeah, and Hermoso, it does have a little bit of that in his game. Tres Gatos, one of our favorite Colchonero chat amigos, he has a couple questions on the defense. His first one, Renan Lodi seems to be the likely starter at left back. Do you think there's any chance that Atleti bring back Felipe Luis for further depth?
I think there's a chance of it, although it does sort of seem like the rumors of him going to Flamengo are heating up at this point.
Yeah.
I wouldn't love it, but in terms of it being a free transfer, considering the money Atleti have spent to this point, it wouldn't shock me.
I kind of think that boat has passed. I think Hermoso coming in almost certainly to be a backup left back as well, primarily a center back, but also to back up Lodi. This seems to be the final nail in Felipe Luis's coffin. I'd be very surprised if he came back now, even on a one-year deal. I think Flamengo is probably his next destination. I'm not sure who in Europe kind of wants a 33-year-old Brazilian who is coming off a not-so-good season.
Knee injuries.
Yes, who was coming off a broken leg before that.
Yeah.
So Tres Gatos also asks, or he says, in the past, common sense did not quite seem common with Simeone at times. Lucas seemed to be the better fit at the left central defense to partner in the left of central defense to partner Jose Ma, but we kept finding Lucas out wide, even though Godin was fading. With the lineups in training this week, it seems that there is actual hope to have Hermoso and Jose Ma together. Even then, do you see Felipe or Savage starting when match day one happens against Getafe? Yes, probably. Chola will probably do
that. I think that is so, so reasonable. I mean, that is clearly someone that understands the Diego Simeone mindset, that he will almost certainly defer to the veteran player.
He's going to start Jimenez and Savage, and you know it.
Yeah, almost certainly. Almost certainly. It feels that way.
Right. It's very hard to be a new signing and come in the very first week for Simeone. We've seen that time and time again. I guess there is some hope in that Simeone has gotten all his defenders in before the preseason starts. Preseason starts on Saturday. Simeone's gotten them all in before preseason starts, so maybe that will give them enough time with kickoff still a month away. Maybe. But yeah, it's going to be Jimenez and Savage.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. Probably. I mean, I imagine once we get into the season, it'll be Hermoso and Jimenez, injuries prevented, but I would agree with that.
And a question similar to that from Justin Kramer on our Patreon page. Will the combination of Juan Fran and Felipe's departures finally make Cholo settle on some new fullbacks? I don't really have a choice there. Just the matter is who's going to start, is who is going to be the starting left back match day one, and who's going to be the starting right back match day one. There's, especially right back, there's going to be a pretty intense competition because I think Arias and Trippier are kind of similar players. Arias may be a little bit better, but they're on a similar level. And Renan Lodi is an unknown. Marlon Hermoso is not a natural left back.
Yeah, I think the advantage Arias has, other than Simeone knowing him already, is that his defensive numbers, especially his interceptions, are better than Trippier's in general. So, you know, as we know with Diego Simeone, defensive prowess certainly gives you a leg up.
Yes. Yeah, and none of these guys, other than Hermoso, I'm not sure you can argue any of these guys are defense-first fullbacks.
Nope.
So Cholo's got a lot of work to do in that.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I'm interested to see what Renan Lodi does in La Liga, because he's very young, and he's coming from the Brazilian league, and all signs point to him being the starter, which is crazy, but I'm kind of into it.
And he might face the most difficult adjustment, you know. A new continent, a new league, a new system. It might be, yeah. He might have the most difficult adjustment of all.
Right, but I'm excited about it, though, because at the very least, it's something new. It's not the typical type of player that Atleti have. I mean, Felipe Luis is not your prototypical Brazilian fullback. He's a bit more defensive-minded, thanks to Simeone, so Lodi may have some work to do, but it'll at least be exciting.
It will be, and this defense is probably going to take their lumps at points in this upcoming season. Atleti might not be the best defense in La Liga this coming year, but the defense as a whole, I think I'm very impressed with how Atletico got this done. We'll see how well the recruitment was. We'll see how good these players are in this system, in this league, etc., or in this, for a player like Hermoso in this team, because he has the La Liga experience. But I'm impressed with how quickly and authoritatively Atletico did this. They got all these new defenders in, A, for less than 90 million euros, and B, before the preseason started. Basically, they put together a brand new defense with Lucas's release clause, plus a little more money. Like, that's very, very impressive to me.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, there is that little voice in the back of my head that's saying that buying, you know, seven players that are in theory first team or first team competing players in one summer is not necessarily a recipe for success, but I'm just going to ignore it for now.
Yeah, we've seen situations, and we've seen certain clubs make a huge, huge sale. The Gareth Bale sale is the one that instantly leaps to mind. Luis Suarez at Liverpool, of course, another one, where you make one big sale and then you just splurge on 15 players, and definitely in Tottenham's case, it was a massive failure and set them back by 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, or even if, I mean, this is a much smaller club, but even Fulham last season, getting promoted and then buying a bunch of players that are first-team players and none of them gel together. It's going to be a pretty monster task, but in theory, the spine is there of the team to make it work, because you have Josema, you have Oblak, you have Koke and Saul, and I guess Morata, Diego Costa, to kind of hold things together in theory.
Jose Jimenez is the old man of this defense now.
Which is utterly shocking.
Yeah. And he's got Godin's number two now as well. Gosh, the years, they just fly by. I feel old.
I love it.
Because I remember...
I'm really looking forward to watching him play next season. I know I said it last week, but I'm really into it.
I remember the days when Josema was just getting his feet wet, making, you know, blocking shots with his head in the afternoon game against Elche. I remember those days. And now look at him. Look at my large Uruguayan son.
And bursting out of the defense and completely missing a tackle.
Oh, man.
Giving up an excellent opportunity to the other team. Feels like it was just yesterday.
And now he might be a captain this year. It's crazy.
Ugh. He really might.
Yeah. Yeah. And it worst comes to worst, Oblak is in goal. So even if this thing is a complete disaster, you have Oblak back there.
That certainly does help matters.
Yeah. So... I'm not saying it'll be a disaster, but there will be growing pains because, you know, Trippier and Hermoso are the 7th and 8th signings of the summer, respectively. That's just a lot of movement. That's just a lot of new faces coming in, and a lot of work needs to be done. But it is exciting. We've said this all summer. It is exciting.
And it needed to happen. I mean, when you see the amount of guys that have left, I mean, it is necessary. That is the one thing you can say, is that unlike some other situations, maybe the Tottenham and Liverpool thing, where those teams are a little bit more built, a lot of players have left Atleti this summer, and it was necessary to make this many signings.
Yeah, it was. You look at the money Atleti have brought in, $96 million for Griezmann, $80 for Lucas, $70 for Rodri. We don't quite know how much they got for Gelson. The reported fee was 30, but I think it was less than that because Luciano Vieira was offered in part exchange. So I'm not quite sure how much they got for Gelson, but you also have Vieira going out for a fee. All in all, that is let me do some quick math here. That is around $260 million that has come in this summer, and Atletico have gone and used that money, and they have spent, does more quick math, 1, 2, 3, 4. Atletico spent around 240 million euros this summer, and they brought back 260. So their net spend is still a positive 20 million. Incredibly.
Which is crazy. It's so crazy.
Incredibly. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I think it'll be a very interesting season. I mean, in theory, it's a rebuilding season, but kind of with the players that have brought in, I think that in turn creates higher expectations.
At Monolith, with three H's on Twitter, asks us, after the crazy signings the last couple weeks, have your respective starting 11, starting sides changed at all? I can't remember if we actually did this on a recent pod, if we went through our ideal 11.
I don't think we did.
Okay, let's do that then. Mine has changed a little bit. This is, of course, pending possible signing number 9, which we'll get to in just a second.
God help us.
Oblak in goal. Arias and Lodi as the fullbacks, with Jimenez and Hermoso in the middle. Llorente and Saul as the central midfielders, with Koke and Lemar on the flanks. João Félix and Alvaro Morata up top. That is my ideal 11. It is a 4-4-2, I know. But that's ideally who I'd have in the side match day one.
I'm going to have to think about this for a second. Yeah, I don't think it's changed significantly. I mean, obviously, Mario Hermoso being one of the center backs would be my main change. João Félix and Morata. Yeah, it hasn't changed ridiculously, but I mean, if you consider the amount of players, if you had asked us this question at the beginning of the summer as compared to now, it would be a different team.
Yeah, alternatively, I could do a 4-3-3 with the same back four, Marcos, Saul, and Koke in a midfield three, and then Lemar and João Félix on either side of Morata.
I kind of feel like, I mean, I would agree with that Marcos Llorente is quite good, but I kind of have the feeling if it's going to be a 4-3-3, it'll be Tomas.
Yeah, possibly.
And DM.
Yeah, because Tomas has that kind of rapidity, that velocity to his game, and he knows the system a little bit better.
Yeah, and he's been around. I mean, as we've seen time and again, Simeone likes people that he knows.
Yeah, And Sid Lowe was at Atleti's training today. The great Sid Lowe was watching Atletico train on Thursday, and he tweeted that Simeone was working out a diamond, a midfield diamond, which I have been praying for him to do, with Marcos Llorente at the base, Saul and Hector Herrera on either side, João Félix at the tip, playing behind Morata and Costa. Which, I'm not sold on Morata and Costa as a pairing, but okay, sure.
There's a pretty gaping hole there, which is Koke, who is the captain of the team,
yeah, I mean, he
not being in that.
He was absent from training Thursday, to be fair.
Yeah. But, so, yeah. I mean, one would think he would be in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the thing. There aren't a ton of wingers in this team. I mean, Lemar and Vitolo are really the only supernatural wingers.
And depending on where João Félix plays, although I think he's almost certainly going to be a striker.
Right, second striker, number 10 kind of deal.
Yeah, I don't think you pay that much money for a winger.
No, I'm just wouldn't
saying,
think so.
I'm just saying.
Nope, unless he's Messi or Ronaldo, which he could be one day, but he's not right now. So
yeah, Atletico basically exchanged their wingers for another central midfielder. Which is what they should have done last year, because Cholo just insisted with playing all four of his central midfielders. And he just leaned in and said, you know, go get me another central midfielder. And they did. It's Hector Herrera on a free transfer.
Yeah, I think Hector Herrera is going to play a bunch. He seems like the kind of player that Simeone is going to absolutely love.
Yeah, that was such a value signing for free. Great value.
29, gritty, experience, ultra hard working, and to be fair to him, he's quite a talented player. I mean, we've seen on the international stage with Mexico, he's been a huge part of their success.
Yeah, he's played a ton for them. I want to say he's got 70 caps for them.
Yep, I think that's right. So he is a hugely experienced player, and I really think Simeone will love him.
Yeah, I think just for this season, Hector Herrera might have the most value of any of the players that Letty have signed, especially because they got him for free.
Yeah, free signing is beautiful.
Yeah, that helps. So, Trippier and Hermoso were signings 7 and 8 of the summer, respectively. Now, there might be one player yet to come in. Signing number 9, Rob, could very well be James Rodriguez.
Oh, God.
So, yes, Rob, not much of a James fan. I have my own skepticism, but the latest is that Napoli and Real Madrid were very close to sealing the deal, and Napoli's president, who De Laurentiis, who I love, he's come out and just started slandering Florentino Perez, saying Real Madrid are making unreasonable demands. I don't understand why Bayern could take James on loan, but we can't get him on loan. So those negotiations have stalled. James apparently wants to go to Atletico. He wants to stay in Madrid. He has a house there. He would love to go back to living in Spain. And Atleti want to do a deal. And Real Madrid supposedly do not mind Atletico coming in with an offer for him. But neither side is really, you know, in a rush to get this done. James is still on vacation. And I think it's just kind of a waiting game until he comes back in a couple weeks. But it seems like there's a possibility this happens, that James is gonna join Atletico before the summer ends.
I just don't see where he fits into this team, to be honest. I mean, if João Félix is in theory a number 10 and or second striker, where is the room for James Rodriguez? Is he going to play on the wing? Because that's certainly not where he's best, in my opinion.
I think that's worst case, is Simeone decides to stick with the traditional 4-4-2 and puts James on the wing.
Yeah.
Alternatively, if he does want to do a diamond, you stick James at the tip of the diamond. That's what made him so successful under Zidane. His last year at Madrid, you put him at the tip of a diamond, Saul and Koke behind him, Marcos Llorente at the base, and then you have Morata and João Félix running ahead of him. That's probably the best way, and maybe the only way he fits. I wouldn't say only, but it's pretty clearly the primo way he'd fit.
I don't know. I just don't see how a mercurial player like James really fits into this team. I mean, we've seen it over the years that Simeone can accommodate players if they work hard, but James is a very spotty player in terms of his performances. I mean, he can go on long, cold stretches and then have some brilliant games, but I'm not a huge fan, to be honest.
I think part of it is you sign him, you take some of the pressure off João Félix. You take some of the pressure off this 19-year-old kid. James is a global superstar. Whether that is warranted or not is, you know, up for debate. But that 2014 World Cup made him. And
he is still living off of it.
He is. He is still living off it. But he's also a genuinely really, really talented player. Yeah, and he does have his flaws. He does have his cons to his many pros. But I think partially the reason for bringing James in is his fee would be relatively reasonable, be around $50 million, most likely. You bring him in, you take some of the pressure off João Félix, you can let him kind of smoothly, you know, work his way into the team and kind of become the leader of the next generation while transitioning from, you know, Portugal to Spain, from that league to this league. I don't know. I think there is a fit there if Simeone does the diamond. I think there is a fit.
The reality for me is, though, if you sign this guy for $50 million, and granted, Real Madrid signed him for, you know, right, 60, 70 million.
It was 75.
And he's 28 years old, so let's say he stays for more than two seasons. Atleti would be lucky to get half of that fee back when they eventually sell him on, if that. So I just don't know if the investment or the value is really there. And also, from what I can tell, his contract expires next summer. So for a player with 1 year remaining on his deal, is $50 million, like, is that really worth it? I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of really anything to do with this deal.
Well, the fee quoted to Napoli was about $42 million, and De Laurentiis is balked at that. And Madrid want to sell James. They don't want another loan move. They want him gone.
Well, because he'll be a free agent next summer, in theory, because he signed a six-year deal in July of 2014, so...
And he's still on that deal.
Right. He hasn't re-upped it since then.
It is fascinating, and it is a little weird, but he is undoubtedly a star. Again, whether that status is deserved or not, people can debate that, but he is a global star, and he would add... I mean, he does have an international teammate in Santi Arias, for what it's worth.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a very enthusiastic response.
This signing just makes me more ill the more I think about it.
I would be excited to see what he could do. I mean, he's a genuinely excellent playmaker, and he can score crazy goals. It's just a matter of how often you're going to get that out of him. I believe they could get it more consistently out of him than they could Angel Correa. Think of it like that.
Yeah, but Angel Correa was pretty cheap.
True.
Yeah.
Still not good.
I don't want either. How about neither?
Yeah. It seems like there's a chance this happens, and we'll probably have to wait a couple weeks for it to actually happen, if it does, but Atleti seem to be in the driver's seat to complete this signing, and that'd be a big deal. Would you have a problem with so many ex-Real Madrid players in the team if James comes and he'd be the fifth?
Yeah. It does bother me a little bit. I mean, I won't front about it. It is a little bit annoying. I don't like the narrative that has kind of been going. I mean, granted, it's from Real Madrid fans who, in general, I try to ignore. But it's a little weird, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter, per se, but it's weird.
I think of it like, are they good players? If they're good players, bring them in. Yes, the past is questionable, but James would be the fifth former Real Madrid either academy graduate or actual first team player should he join up. And yeah, it is weird to have so many of those players, you know, cross enemy lines to join Atleti. But as long as they're good players, I mean, and the value is there, why not? Good players they come from wherever they come from.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't really care about Marcos Llorente. I don't really think that's that big of a deal because he didn't play a ton for them. Morata is kind of a different case, I guess, because he did play quite a bit and was fairly prominent in them winning a league title.
Yeah, he was.
And James is kind of the same deal as Morata.
Yeah, he and James were key contributors to arguably the best Madrid team of the century in 2016-17. Right. So, they were both key contributors to that team.
And Adan barely played for Madrid, so. It's kind of different categories, and James is kind of more in the Morata category, and Morata at least has the excuse, or at least says that he has the excuse that he was an Atleti fan when he grew up. So that's okay. That's a little more acceptable than James, I think.
Like, every interview Morata's given, he's just, it's like he's blessed to play for Atleti. Like, I want to be here, I want to win here. Being here has changed my life. Like, he's saying all the right things.
Yes, and I don't think James will have that luxury were he to come here.
Yeah, because he's been, this would be, what, his fifth club?
Yeah, he's bounced around a good bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, unless he plays up to, like, the Falcao legacy, that's his best bet.
One other thing James is really good at is taking set pieces. Trace Gatos asks us, on the offensive end, our dead ball situations seem to have been shit since 2014. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
How excited are you guys to have a dead ball specialist like Trippier for free kicks and corners? In addition, if they were to pull off this James deal to add a lefty to the mix, that would be one heck of a 1-2 punch with dead balls. Griezmann was solid at free kicks for shots on goal, but Koke and Lemar were not the greatest at whipping in balls the last few seasons, or in Lemar's case, last year.
Yeah, Griezmann wasn't so good last season either from free kicks, if my memory serves.
Yeah, Griezmann's reputation as like a free kick specialist, I think, was a little overblown. He scored a few really good goals, though.
Yeah, that's certainly true, but I think that was more 2 years ago, I guess. But yeah, no, I think Trippier, his set-piece delivery is certainly a positive to his signing. And that is the bonus to James as well, because he is a left-footer, as Troy Scotto said. So, yeah, I mean, in theory, it's an advantage. I mean, I hold out some hope that Koke can one day remember how to take a corner. That would be nice.
Yeah,
and Thomas Lemar seems like he has the potential to do that one day.
Yeah, I would give Lemar primarily, assuming James comes in, James is going to get the majority of those opportunities. If he doesn't, Lemar, Trippier, Koke probably still, even though Koke hasn't been really good on set pieces since 2015.
Can someone just, like, show him some videos from, like, 2013-14? He's like, just do this again.
Gabby was really good on them, too, speaking of those seasons.
True.
Gabby was the one who set up Godin's goal at Camp Nou. It wasn't Koke.
That is a good point. That is a very good point. So, yeah, we'll see. I think that is probably one of the biggest positives to Trippier, and one of the main reasons he may earn the starting job is the set-piece delivery.
Yeah, there's value there as well. A couple more things before we sign off for today. As if Atleti haven't brought in enough money this summer, they have sold off two of the three plots of land that once belonged to Estadio Vicente Calderon. They're expected to sell off the third plot for $80 million, and that will bring in a total of €180 million. That likely will go a long way toward paying for the new stadium that Atleti now occupy.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's still sad.
We're still kind of depressed about that.
It's still, a little sore, because the Calderon was, that was the Calderon, you know?
Yeah.
That was
I think if everyone who knows anything about that Atleti, it's a special place.
I mean, the Wanda Metropolitano is a special stadium, but it's for different reasons than the Calderon. The Calderon was a hole, and that summed up Atleti as a club very well.
Yeah, agreed.
So that's a little sad, but, you know, anything to relieve the debt, I suppose.
Yes, I suppose. It is good, I guess, for the immediate term, but not for the romantics in us all.
Yeah. One last thing. Actually, we do have a question from our dear friend at Hibiscuits on Twitter. With the addition of Hermoso, is Atleti close to being the number one most handsome team in La Liga?
Josh is a Chelsea fan, so yeah. He should know that Morata is certainly helping the handsome index of this team.
Like, let's look at this objectively. Yes. Yes, they are the most handsome team in La Liga. Objectively.
Better than Barcelona, that's for damn sure.
Yeah. Or
Luis Madrid. Suarez takes them down quite a few pegs.
Yeah, I mean, you have Jose Ma, who, of course, Morata, Hermoso.
Yeah, no, Black.
Jao Felix, he's
a strong boy.
Jao Felix has that youthful charm. Saul, of course, is a beautiful man.
Yeah, we're looking good right now. Kieran Trippier is a little, not so great, but that's okay. We can balance that out.
I haven't mentioned Marcos Llorente either, who I recommend if you don't follow him on Instagram. Follow him on Instagram and watch how he trains. My God. Marcos Llorente is ripped.
Yeah, not a bad looking champ.
He is ripped.
Yeah, we got some nice looking fellas. That's a good point, actually.
Yep. Thank you, Josh, for the question.
It's a valid point. One day we'll come up with a stat index for this.
Attractiveness per 90.
Olivier Giroud is a free agent, by the way. You know,
let's go from
in case we want to really jack it up.
Let's go from number one in La Liga to number one in Europe.
I mean, for real.
If we sign Giroud.
Big sexy. We'd be in business.
I am Giroud.
Yes, we all are, aren't we? So
very last thing. It's transfer related, and I mentioned it, or I implied it earlier in the program, but late breaking news Thursday evening from Gianluca DiMarzio in Italy. Not so great with foreign transfers, but he's usually on the nose when it comes to teams in Serie A. He reported that Milan are deep in negotiations with Atletico for Angel Correa. He is working on a three-way deal to get Andre Silva to Monaco and Patrick Cutrone to Wolves. Okay? And the third cog in that deal is Angel Correa going to Milan. The fee, Rob, is estimated to be around 50 million euros.
Hallelujah. If we have been saved.
If that happens, Milan, thank you. You should get back into Europe just for that.
Thank you, Ivan Gazidis, you bald prick.
I would have been thrilled to get 30 million for Correa, but 50? Where do I sign?
That would be unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, with a three-way deal involving George Mendes, you know it's probably going to be kind of a little bit messy. But really, any money that's upwards of the fee Atleti paid for Correa, I'm good with.
How much did he even pay for Correa? Was it like 15?
$7.5 million.
It was less than that. Way less than that. Yeah,
it depends on where you look, but yeah.
Talk about a profit. Yeah, and that would
be big money.
That fee would bring Atleti's their income from this summer to over 300 million euros.
That would be a ridiculous deal.
And that would certainly clear the path for James to join up.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, which you're not enthusiastic about, but that's okay.
But if they make that much money on Correa, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, they might. DiMarzio, again, is pretty reliable when it comes to the big teams in Serie A. So we'll see where this goes. And our dear friend George Mendes. George Mendes is like an honorary friend of the pod.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Hey, you can come on anytime, George Mendes. We're happy to have you.
I'm sure he's listening to this. Or one of his associates is listening to this. He's got eyes and ears everywhere. Everywhere.
Welcome. Welcome, George Mendes.
Hashtag bienvenido, George.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, that'll do it for this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. I would like to thank my guest, Rob Walker, for joining me. Rob, thanks so much.
A pleasure, as always.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaron, and follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can even like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform that includes Apple Podcasts. Leave a rating and review if you could. Really helps us out. Lets us know what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. Finally, head over to the Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. Become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo from as little as $3 a month. You ask us questions on there, you'll get them answered right here. patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. We will be back next week. Until then, adios.